Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament book of Acts. The New Testament book of Acts in chapter number 20. The New Testament book of Acts in chapter number 20. We've been traveling with the Apostle Paul through his missionary journeys, and we've been visiting with him as he's been traveling to different spots, as he's stopped at different places and started churches. And as we've been going through this series, whenever we come to a place where he was used to pen one of the epistles, we take time to do a quick survey of those epistles. Then when we come to a person that was deeply impacted or helped the Apostle Paul, we stop and do a character study and examine the life of that individual and how much they were a blessing to the Apostle Paul and how much they were an assistance to him. And if you don't mind, we're going to do that tonight as we examine the book of Acts in chapter number 20. The Apostle Paul is traveling with a missionary team. He's not traveling with just him by himself or his family, but he now has a missionary team, a group of people who are going and traveling with him. They include Timothy. They include Dr. Luke. They include Titus, who will cover a little bit later. It covers just a group of people, and all of them have their own aspect. All of them have their thing in helping the Apostle Paul get accomplished what God has given him to do. Truly, you could say throughout all of history that there was only one Apostle Paul. And this was a very uniquely specialized man of God that God used in a special way. And all of those people who helped support the man of God, all of those people who got behind the preacher, all of them had a great impact and tremendous help. That the Apostle Paul would be weaker without those people. That the Apostle Paul was able to accomplish a lot more because of those people beside him, helping him. Some of them are background workers. Some of them would never have their name in lights. Some of them were not preachers. But some of them were just faithful people who said, "This is the man of God that God has given me. And I'm going to go all in. I'm going to support the man of God. And that as he continues to follow Christ, I'm going to follow him." Remember, it's not the man that we put the attention on, it's the Lord that we're putting attention on. But as a man of God has God's hand upon him and the favor of God upon him, people should follow him as he follows Christ and get all in and support and help the man of God get accomplished what he cannot do by himself. And so if you don't mind, notice with me in the book of Acts and chapter number 20. The book of Acts chapter 20, and notice with me in verse number 1. Acts 20 and verse number 1. "And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. And there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, he was about to sail for unto Syria. He purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Sucodonus and Gaius of Derbe and Timotheus and of Asia Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a name that we find in Acts chapter 20? In Acts chapter 20, verse number 4, it gives a list of names. But I only want you to mark one name, if you wouldn't mind. The name Aristarchus. The name Aristarchus. And here is a special man that is often, most people have never heard of him, but he's mentioned quite a few times in Scripture. But he was a very important man in helping the Apostle Paul accomplish what was given. So much that later on, and we're going to examine it in the book of Colossians, Aristarchus was given this title, Fellow Prisoner. And so with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach about Aristarchus, the Fellow Prisoner. Aristarchus, the Fellow Prisoner. prisoner. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And I thank you for the opportunity to serve you. The opportunity is to get on board with what you want to get accomplished. And Lord, I'm asking that you would stir up these good folks in here, that they would continue to keep their eyes upon you, that as they follow you, that they would make decisions to help move forward and advance, and that the world can be reached, that the Great Commission can be accomplished. Lord, as we come up to you now, I'm just asking that you would do something special, that you would draw people close, and that you would help them to decide that they're going to be all in and following after you. Again, I recognize that I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody, Lord. You just choose to use me out of your good favor. You use me in spite of me and not because of me. And I'm very conscious of my own shortfalls. And because of that, the best I know how, I surrender myself to you now and ask that you fill me with your precious spirit for the purpose that you would get your own work accomplished through your precious word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As we come to the man Aristarchus, we want to start off with just a little bit of a background. Where did he come from? Well, he was a native of Thessalonica. If you remember, in the second missionary journey, the Apostle Paul, as he traveled through what we call Asia Minor, that God had stopped him from going further into Asia. And remember, he wanted to go towards the Babylonian Empire. He wanted to go east and continue to go to India. And he wanted to go to China, kind of go in that direction. But God stopped him. The Holy Spirit hindered him and refused to let him go. Instead, the Holy Spirit sent him and turned him out of Asia and turned him into Europe by the Macedonian call. And of course, that has benefits to us because the gospel went to Europe, that you and I had the privilege of coming to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, and that Christianity did not have to compete with the other religions that were big into Asia. And again, it had worldwide impact, because the Apostle Paul stopped and waited on God. As Paul traveled to Macedonia, which is a region, he continued to travel, and he stopped at one place called Thessalonica. Of course, we have two epistles that were written to that church, but this was an important church to the Apostle Paul. And while he was there, he happened to lead a man to the Lord by the name of Aristarchus. Now, Aristarchus seems to be one of the Apostle Paul's wealthier converts. And when he got saved, guess what? His wallet went with him. That he said, the Lord saved me. I'm going to use the finances that God has given me to support this man. This man has the gospel. This man has got the Lord's hand upon him. I want to get behind him. But he just didn't use his wallet. He surrendered himself. And if you don't mind, let's examine a couple things about Aristarchus as he shows up in Scripture and examine how this man of God was used to help support the Apostle Paul. The first thing I'd like to show you about Aristarchus is that he was a daring man. That he was a daring man. Look back with me in the book of Acts chapter 19. Acts in chapter number 19. Now, if you remember the last time we met, we talked about the Apostle Paul in the city of Ephesus. And that for 3 months he disputed and spoke with the Jewish people. And when they finally hardened their heart and they kicked him out, he said, forget that. And he went to a school of one Tyrannus. And for the space of 2 years, he taught daily at that school, basically started like a Bible institute and began to teach men and women how to follow the Lord, begin to instruct them in the ministry. And what happened after 2 years, that everyone within Asia Minor, which we now call Turkey, heard the gospel. And remember, we related the idea that Turkey is approximately the size of the state of Texas. So can you imagine in 2 years, the gospel being spread, that everyone within the country, the size of the state of Texas, had the opportunity to hear the gospel? What an amazing thing that occurred. Now, we explain that when we start training men and women for the ministry and things start happening, remember that doctrine needed to be taught. There were people that just didn't know what the Bible said, and that people need to know what the Bible says for themselves, and that they don't need to believe it just because their parents say so or their pastor says so. But we need to be people who could open up the Bible and say, this is what the Bible says concerning salvation. This is what the Bible says concerning the Holy Spirit. This is what the Bible says concerning the deity of Christ. And that we should know what the Bible says and what we believe and show people what we believe in a clear manner. We explain that when people start training men and women for the ministry, that the Great Commission is accomplished. Remember, one man cannot get it accomplished by himself. That is why we need people like Aristarchus and Timothy and these other people who support it, because one man cannot get the job done alone. But what happens is when we all play our part, many hands make light work, and that the job can get accomplished. We explain that that when we train men and women for the ministry, that there are some people who need to stop and sharpen their axe. It is never wasted time to stop and sharpen their axe. We need to train people how to do the Lord's work and how to do it correctly according to the Bible, not just go out there and do the best they can. We want to take the time to train people. Then we explain that when we start training men and women for the ministry, it changes the society around them. Oh, what a wonderful thing. And remember that they had the temple of Diana, which was a false goddess, which people would come and worship. And what happened as Paul began to preach, people started to say, there's one true God and this thing over here is not it. And after a while, guess what? People stopped visiting the temple. And with it, they had a big merchandise trade. So they had the little merchant stores, the gift shops that sold the little trinkets. They sold the little helmets. They sold the little keychains. They sold the bumper stickers. You guys know I'm being facetious again. But, you know, they're selling all the merchandise. And what happens when no one's buying it anymore? Well, when you start messing with money, people start getting aggravated. And so they had the silversmith guild get together. And they said, this Paul had told everyone in Asia about the gospel. You know, it was the enemies that were saying that Paul had done the job. And they started shouting, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And what they did is they stirred everyone up and brought them to their Colosseum. And they stirred everyone up. And next thing you know, the whole city for 2 hours is shouting, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. And a big stir was going up. Now, because the crowd is stirred up and the big mob is frothed at the mouth and they're ready for blood, they're looking for the Apostle Paul. But the disciples hit him back and they said, no, if they see you, they're just going to slay you. But notice who was taken instead. In the book of Acts, chapter 19, Acts 19 in verse 29, Acts 19, verse 29, the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius, and notice this, and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. So can you imagine this? This whole city is stirred up, and they're looking for the Apostle Paul. They're going to string him up. But instead, they find someone associated with him, Aristarchus. That's one of the people who follow Paul. That's one of Paul's helpers. If we could take Paul's helper, he'll be crippled. We could at least do this. And say they took Aristarchus and they brought him in the middle of the Colosseum. They brought him to the theater. And here they get a crowd and they're trying to get him stirred up. They've got a mob coming ready to go and they have someone ready to get stirred up. Here's Aristarchus, who left his home to travel with the Apostle Paul, knowing how dangerous it was. We can see that this is a daring man. You understand, to follow after the Lord is not going to be easy. You know, sometimes supporting the man of God is not easy. That when you find a man of God worth his salt, you need to get behind him. But we want to let you know that, yea, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. That's a promise. And you know what? When the pastor takes a hit, oh, you go to that church. I heard that pastor is really mean. You go to that church? Isn't that pastor kind of crazy? I mean, he asks you to go to soul winning every week. Isn't that excessive? Oh, you go to that church. And people have the explanation for that church. What do you do? No. I don't know that guy. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, sometimes it's going to take some bravery when you know the people are upset and say, yes, that's my pastor. Amen. Yes, that's my church. Yes, that's what I'm supposed to. Sometimes it's going to take some bravery. And Aristarchus was one of those men that he was caught and he wasn't saying, please, I don't know the Apostle Paul. Leave me alone. He was willing to stand. Even in the midst of a crowd, he's still not going to deny his pastor. He's not going to deny the man of God that God has placed in his life. He's a daring man. I'm behind the preacher. I don't care who is all against him. I don't care if everyone turns against him. I'm standing with my preacher. I'm standing with my preacher. We could see he was a daring man. As we examine Scripture, we see something else about Aristarchus, is that he was a dependable man. He was a dependable man. Turn with me to the book of Philemon, chapter number 1. If you're looking for Philemon, it is not an Old Testament book. It is a New Testament book. And you will find it in what we call the personal epistles, that you go to 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, then you go to the book of Titus, and then Philemon. Philemon. Philemon's only one chapter long. It is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the person who is overseeing the church of Colossae. By the way, the church of Colossae was started when the Apostle Paul is teaching over in the Bible Institute in Ephesus. And so this is a church as a direct result of Paul's stay in Ephesus. And notice with me in the book of Philemon, chapter 1, and notice this greeting as the Apostle Paul is finishing up and he's giving his greetings. He says, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. You know, as he's addressing the church that's at Colossae and to specifically the pastor of it, he's saying, I want you to remember Aristarchus, he's my fellow laborer. And we see here that not only was he a daring man, he was a dependable man. He was a dependable man. Fellow laborer. You know, we don't like the word work, some of us, but that's a good word. To labor, to work. You know, there are no spectators in the Lord's work, even though people like to think so. Everyone's got a place. Sometimes even supporting the pastor is a big deal. To fellow laborers. The Aristarchus met the Apostle Paul in his second missionary journey. He probably came to know the Lord as his Savior as the Apostle Paul went over there the first time. Then what happened is that Aristarchus, as he grew in the Lord, says, I'm going to follow the man of God wherever he goes. So as he travels around the world, I'm going with him. I'm supporting him. I'm behind him. And you know, whenever Paul needed something, there was Aristarchus. He was dependable. He knew he could count on him. He knew he was going to be in his place. He never had to wonder, well, is so-and-so going to be here today? Oh, Aristarchus is going to be there. Aristarchus is going to be there. As he traveled with Paul for 3 years, he was behind him. You understand that in a church, we have a volunteer labor force, meaning that we're not paying anybody. You know what that means? Volunteers, it's hard sometimes because you don't want to overpush them. You know, anyone can start off and say, sure, I'll do this. But what happens when the novelty wears off? Yeah, I'll clean the church, pastor, if that's what you need me to do. And then after a while, the novelty wears off. Oh, man, it's time to clean the church. Ugh. Not Aristarchus. He was dependable. He was there. They could count on him. That anything the Apostle Paul needed, if Aristarchus was able to do it, he was available. He didn't give excuses. Well, I can't because, you know, I got a quart of milk in the fridge. What? Someone used that excuse once. Hey, can you come to Sunday school? I can't. There's a quart of milk in the fridge. He said, what does that have to do with anything? He says, one excuse is as good as another. You know, when people don't want to do anything, they're not. But Aristarchus, whatever you need, preacher. I need someone to plunge the toilets. Yes, sir, I'll be right on it. Didn't pass it off. You understand, he was a dependable man. He traveled with the Apostle Paul. He was a fellow laborer. He was able to help. Even when the novelty wore off, he was dependable. He was steady. He was someone to be counted on. You see, some people are fine in the short term, but are you prepared for the long haul? Are you prepared to say, I'm going to follow this man. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to be in my place. I'm going to be found faithful. The Bible talks about that. Moreover, it's required in a steward to be found faithful. Faithful. What is faithfulness, by the way? You ever think about that? For example, if I went up to my wife and say, I love you, honey. I got some good news. I have been 99% faithful to you in our entire marriage. Is that good news to her? No. You know what she wants to hear? I'm 100% faithful. That means every time. You know what the Lord requires from us? That every time we're found faithful. Not some of the time, not part of the time. Can you be counted on that when it's time to help, you're there? When it's time to support the preacher, you're there. When it's time to support what God is doing, that you're there. We see Aristarchus, he was a daring man. He dared to follow after the man of God that God has placed in his life as he followed Christ and said, I'm behind you. I'm with you. Even if it costs me something, even if it's inconvenient, I'm going. He was a dependable man that even when the novelty wore off, he was still there in the trenches. He was still there being a fellow laborer. He was there with his hands dirty with the preacher and said, I'm with you. I'm with you. Not only was he a daring man, not only was he a dependable man, but there's something else about Aristarchus I want you to see. He was a devoted man. He was a devoted man. Now this will be the challenging part. Notice with me in the book of Colossians in chapter number 4. Colossians chapter 4. Aristarchus was known in the church of Colossae. Remember, Philemon was... that book of Philemon is dealing with the people who are overseeing, who's in leadership of the church of Colossae. Turn with me to the book of Colossians, which is the letter written to the church of Colossae. And notice as the Apostle Paul. Now, what is happening in history? The Apostle Paul has continued with his third missionary journey. And at the time of the writing of the book of Colossae, Paul is sitting in a Roman prison, writing this letter. So where is Aristarchus now that Paul is in prison? Notice with me in the book of Colossians chapter number 4. Colossians chapter number 4. And notice with me in verse number 10. Colossians 4 verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner. So what's going on? Well, remember, at the end of the third missionary journey, the Apostle Paul is arrested in Jerusalem, and he's held there for several years because of the Jewish people have kind of rebelled. They have forced the Roman government to arrest him, and they've kept him there for several years. He's been under the examination of Felix and Festus, and yet they still haven't released him. Finally, when he says there's no hope, he says, you know what? I appeal to Rome, appeal to Caesar. Send me to go find Nero. Let him sort this out. I've done nothing wrong. So what happens is that the Apostle Paul is transported as a prisoner from Jerusalem and brought all the way to Rome. There at Rome, he is placed in house arrest as a prisoner for 2 years. That's a long time. And we have Aristarchus. Now, Paul's a prisoner. So how do I get close to the preacher? I want to be a blessing to the preacher. You know what he did? He says, can I be arrested too? I want to be a help to my preacher. Just arrest me just so I could be a prisoner in chains right next to my preacher. So if he needs anything, I'll be there to help him out. You understand? This is a man who is devoted. You know, some people like the preacher for a little bit. You like your preacher that much? Now understand, I understand not all pastors are the pastors they ought to be under the Lord. But the Bible talks about that when God gives a man of God to a church, it talks about that he gives gifts unto all men. In referring to the church, in some he gives pastors. You understand, when you have a pastor who loves the Lord and teaches the Bible and is trying to advance forward for God, that's a special thing. That's a very special thing. And when God has a plan to use that man, that you need to get behind it. If you love the Lord, now notice your eyes keep on the Lord. Please don't put a pastor or me on a pedestal, because I don't want him to knock me off just to teach you a lesson. All right? You keep your eyes on the Lord. But as long as I'm following after the Lord, and you're a member of the church, you should follow. You should go with. You should support. What can I do? Now, understand, this is above and beyond the call of duty. But this is a man who says, I believe in the man of God God has placed before me. I believe in the Apostle Paul. And I want to be there to be a help no matter what. And if he's in jail, I want to go to jail with him just so I could help him, so I could support him, so I could, if he has a need, I'm there for him. I love the preacher that much. I want to take care of him. Now, that's a lot to talk about. That's a big thing. But do you understand? Okay, this is one of those things where it's hard as a preacher. But I recognize that God has got something special for this church. And he's got something special for me as a man of God. Again, I have to be honest, but it's hard to talk about because I know I'm nothing special. But I know that the Lord has something special. I know he has. It's his plan. He just wants to use an instrument. And whenever you find a man of God, you need to do what you can to support, to help, to get behind. So that way he can get accomplished more with your help than what he could ever do by himself. Now, I'm not trying to go to jail myself, okay? But there are plenty of things that need to be done. Doors need to be knocked. Things need to be accomplished. Things need to be done. You understand that the less that I have to clean the church, that's the more I could do with the Bible? You understand that more things that could be accomplished and taken care of, that frees it up so things could get done? What about using your talents for the Lord? You know, one thing I've been praying for is someone who could transcribe messages. I like to write and I like to get books, but sometimes I could preach a lot and I get kind of backlogged. What if someone could type up some of the messages that I preach and type them up and then allow me to have the transcript and turn it around, get more books accomplished? Do you believe that the messages and the way that we preach here could be a help to a lot of other people if they had it in book form to read? Absolutely. You understand those things are helped. You know, I've got over 1,000 cassette tapes. For some of you kids, that was what we had right after the 8-track, all right? We had cassette tapes that we actually put them in there and we had to wind them with pencils and stuff. I've got 1,000 of those archaic things that need to be transferred to digital form before they're lost. You understand those tapes can, you know, what would happen if someone said, you know, I got some time, preacher. I'll listen to these messages and make sure they're recorded, right? I mean, would it hurt you to listen to 1,000 tapes just to make sure they get recorded, right? I mean, wouldn't that be a blessing? You understand that you got a preacher who's got full of ideas and stuff. And there are some people who have time and talents. And some people say, I don't know what I can do, preacher. But I'll be listening and as the Lord prompts. You understand that there are some people who have finances that can help. You know, I've never had anyone come up and say, preacher, the whole world needs to hear the gospel. We need to take a full page ad in the paper that gives the gospel. Or something of those sites. You know, preacher, here, let me help with this. Preacher, there's some people who have time. Preacher, I got time. This is what I'm going to do. You know what the best thing someone could do? Is, preacher, I love you so much. I'm going to pray for you. That's the greatest thing. Preacher, I'm going to take the time and I'm behind you that I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. You know, what a wonderful thing it would be is if people had set up a time of the day that every day at 6 o'clock is when I take time to pray for my pastor. Or every day at 10 o'clock at night, if you're a night owl or whatever, this is my time. I stop what I do. And I take time to pray for my preacher or whatever time. What would happen if everyone had a time during the day that it was just their time and they took just some couple minutes to pray for the preacher? Do you think God could get things accomplished even more? Do you think God could even open the doors a little bit more? Do you think God can prepare and do things? You understand that there is a wealth of opportunity. Now you have to recognize, first of all, are you at a place where you can grow under the preaching of the man of God? There are some people who are not church members. You understand that you need to find a place where you could senator a man of God and you can grow spiritually. Amen. You need to find a place like that. Amen. And then when you find that place, get all in. You know, I understand that there are some churches that have a maintaining philosophy, meaning that we're just going to hole up here, we're going to bar our doors, us four and no more, and we're going to wait until the Lord comes, and we're just going to hold in here. And then there are some that says, let's go conquer the world. Amen. Let's go reach the world with the gospel. When you find someone like that, go all in. Understand, we were going to obey Christ, and we're going to go in. And you know what? There's going to be some times that the pastor has to say no. You know what that means? If you're dedicated and following pastor, you're not going to go, fine, I'm going to head my own way and I'm not going anymore. I'm going to sit in the pew and pout. You understand that happens. more than often than we want. But if you're saying, you know what, I'm going to support my preacher, I'm going to go all in. Sometimes that means that you're not going to have the gift of criticism. I had someone say that. The gift that God has given me is the gift of criticism. I just take pastor's messages and I tell him where he's wrong. We don't need that gift, okay? I understand that sometimes pastor messes up and I don't use proper grammar and I'm trying to do the best I can. You don't have to encourage me by telling me everything I did wrong. You understand, we're getting facetious now. But you understand, is God doing something here? Is God using the man of God here in a special way? Then what can God use you to do to help support what God is getting accomplished? This is what an Aristarchus is. I understand that everyone's going to be an Aristarchus. Well, maybe someone could. Maybe someone could be that one encouragement that when Paul is looking around, he could say, there's Aristarchus. He keeps me going. Man, I needed something and there was Aristarchus and it let me go another day. It helped me going. A preacher cannot do it by himself. He cannot. It doesn't matter what the preacher is. He cannot do it by himself. If you study some of those old time revivalists, sometimes they'll tell you that it was because they had a man praying for them. There was a time a tour group from America came and went to the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, England. They heard about the revivals. They heard of things that were going on with Spurgeon. So they went to there and found the first man that they found in the church. And they said, sir, we have heard so much about this Charles Spurgeon. We've heard so much about how God has used him. Please tell us, what is the source of his power? He says, I'll be glad to. He says, come with me. Now, in the Metropolitan Tabernacle of London, England, they had a raised platform. They actually had three floors of balconies. And so they had a big raised platform. And the man brought him to the raised platform. On the side of the platform, there was a door. And he opened the door and he said, this is the secret to Spurgeon's power. He says, every morning, 500 men fit underneath that stage. And the whole service, they pray for their pastor and they pray for the message and they pray that God works. And that is the secret to Spurgeon's power. And they looked at him and said, wow, we've never heard this before. This is amazing. By the way, what's your name? And he says, my name's Charles Spurgeon. He recognized the source of the power. What would happen if people prayed and God got involved and worked? You understand? We're looking for some Aristarchuses. We're looking for some people who get behind what God is doing in here and saying, I'm all in. What can I do? I may not have much, but what I have, I'm going to use for the Lord because God is doing something in this place and God is doing something with a man of God that he has put here. And I want to get involved. I want to be support. I want to be a help so that more things can be done. We need some more Aristarchuses who says, I'm all in. A dependable man, a daring man, a devoted man. And remember, it wasn't he was devoted to a person. He was devoted to a God who happened to be using a person. And as long as the Apostle Paul was following after the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I'm following that man as he follows Christ. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.